Let's go ahead and open with prayer, and we'll get started tonight. Tonight's message, what the Lord gave me, is kind of interesting, because when God gives a message to anybody that speaks from the pulpit or even any type of witness, when you are a witness, the message that God gives you is usually something that you have gone through or that you understand and that you are intimate with, and you can communicate that to someone that's going through the same thing. Okay, if you have a loved one that's sick with cancer or what have you, then you can empathize with someone who is going through the same battle. So anytime we get up here and speak, we cannot speak with just words. There are actions, there's emotions, there's the Holy Spirit behind it that's, you know, brings us through that water, brings us through that fire, like we talked about last week, brings us through that fire that we can empathize with those who are going through the same thing. So tonight's message is going to be about the elusive peace that all mankind searches desperately for daily. When God says, "My peace I give to you," is that different than the peace that we search for daily? Well, the answer to that is, yep, it is. So that's what we're going to cover tonight. So let's open in prayer and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I just ask that you forgive us our sins and our transgressions, Lord, and all those things, Lord, that anchor us, Lord, that drag us down, Lord, that get us into the depression, get us into the anxiety, get us into the hard times, Lord, of our hearts. Lord, I just ask you to just cleanse us, wash us clean with your word as you promised. Lord, we belong to you. We look to you, Lord. We look to your hand, Lord, to feed us, Lord. We are your sheep. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon tonight's word, Lord, that it might go out, not only from the speaker and touch the hearts of everyone, but touch those listening and those that are here with that hope that's in you. We praise you, Father. We thank you. And I just ask that every word that comes out of my mouth, Father, be to your glory. And you anoint your word above your name as you've promised. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. The elusive peace that all mankind cherishes. We all talk about peace. It's kind of interesting because we even have it on our gravestones, you know, RIP, rest in peace, rest in peace. It's kind of interesting that they put that there, because rest in peace means that person that's dead has no more input. They have no more challenges. They have no more heartaches. They have no more battles. I mean, rest in peace, because their battle is over. God's peace is different than the peace that we have. Our peace that we like is a tactile peace. We like to be able to sense it. We like to be able to touch it. In Genesis, we see that when they saw the fruit, okay, that it was good to the eyes. It was pretty to the eyes, and it was going to make them wise. And then the ultimate goal would be they had peaceful. Man chases peace in just about every way possible. He chases peace through financial. If I had this much money, I'll be at peace. If I had this spouse, I would have peace. If I had this life, I would have peace. If I had this much hair, I would have peace. If I was tall and good looking, I would have peace. Man's always chasing tactile peace. What's interesting about man's peace is that it's temporary. All of it is temporary. So then once that peace goes away from him, he turns around and he goes into something else. Well, I'm going to have it. If I have this new car, I'll have peace. If I have this new home, I'll have peace. On and on and on. So man's always chasing that peaceful state. But what's interesting is when man finds it, it goes away. It's like chasing soap bubbles. Boy, it's beautiful. This is what I want. I'm after it. Okay, I got it. It's gone. Jesus says something different. He says something different. The peace that he has passes all understanding. So what is the difference between the peace that man wants and the peace that Christ gives? There's something different about what he has versus what we chase. Sometimes if there's no peace in my life or in your life, do we ever question why that is? Why don't I have any peace? Why am I always in turmoil? This is always happening to me. Poor me. First thing I do, I'll tell you what I do, and I wrote it down. It's kind of interesting. I don't know, maybe others think the same way, but I wrote it down as soon as I get this thing going here. Sorry about that. So I wrote it down. The first thing, if I don't have peace, guess what I do? I remove all the blame from me and place it on someone else or something else. I don't have peace because you didn't give me a raise. I don't have peace because of you. I don't have peace because that guy cut me off. I don't have peace because this is going on in Iran. I don't have peace because of the finances. I don't have peace because of politics. I'm putting it on someone else's blame. In other words, their fault. And not because I don't have peace. That's not the peace that God's talking about. That's not the peace he's talking about. The peace he's talking about passes all the understanding. It goes far beyond that. Peace with all mankind is fleeting. It goes. Even in Revelation, we say, in that day, talking to the last, in the last days, which I believe are quickly approaching, in the last days, he says they will say, peace, peace, and then comes sudden destruction. Instantly, boom, sudden, that's quick. The peace that man has is tactile. The peace that we want, we chase after, that we long for, is it's temporary. It's not real. It feels good for a moment, and then it goes. John 14:27. Put your Bibles there. Flip to John 14:27. Think about this for a second. This was at the Last Supper. Jesus spoke this to his disciples. The Last Supper. The Lord knew precisely what was going to take place. God knew every detail of what was going to happen. He knew everyone's heart that was at that dinner. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. And not only did he know what they were going to go through, what he was going to go through, he wasn't focused on what he was going to go through. He was focused on how they were going to respond to what was going to be happening. He wanted to confirm them, it's okay. It's okay. And he speaks to the disciples in verse 27, chapter 14. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? That section right there applies to all of us. The peace that he leaves with us, it's not our peace. It's not the world's peace. It's God's peace. What is that peace that he's talking about? That peace he's talking about in my heart and in my belief is that he is still on the throne. He is still king of the universe. He is still God. And he understands what we're going through. He knows our down sittings. He knows our uprisings. He knows our weaknesses. He knows my faults. He knows all of these things. He knows how I'm going to respond. But there's an eternity that I have secured and permanent with him. That peace, no one can take away because it's God's peace. He said, my peace. Jesus had peace through all of his ministry. He didn't lament over anything. The people, he wept over Lazarus. No, he wept because of their unbelief. That's what broke his heart. And when we don't have that peace, it's because we have unbelief. I'm going, wait, Lord, I do believe. Do you really, David? Do you really? Well, Lord, no wells, no buts. So the Lord's speaking to his disciples. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Isn't that interesting? Not as the world gives. Not that tactile peace. Gee whiz, you're going to have a new car. You're going to have a new spouse. He's going to be perfect. She's going to be perfect. You're going to have the perfect spouse. You're going to have the perfect family. And what was that? Some of the programs we grew up in the 50s, Father Knows Best, and the Donna Reed Show, and all the others, or whatever they were. They were all perfect families, and we all looked at that and went, yeah, that's our family. Not a chance. Not a chance. My family was a train wreck. I don't know about yours. But man's peace is temporary. It's, again, chasing soap bubbles. God's peace is permanent. When he says, verse 27, peace I leave with, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then the bottom one, he even adds a little postscript to the bottom there. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He knew exactly what was coming. He knew exactly what was happening. He knew what they were going to go through. And you know what? He knows what you're going through. He knows the sadness of your heart. He knows the anxieties. Oh, he knows them. He knows the hopes that we have sometimes that are not realized. He knows sometimes that the things that we stumble over, we kind of miss. And all that, he says, let your heart not be troubled. If you believe in me and in my word, I got you. That peace is the peace that passes all understanding. John 16:33. Flip over to 16:33. Next page to the right. He's still speaking to the disciples. And the first verse above that, 32, he said, indeed the hour is coming, yes, now is, come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Do you realize what that means when he says you'll be scattered? That means they are afraid. Their security's gone. Their bank accounts are gone. Their homes are gone. They're being persecuted. They're being thrown to the lions in some cases, eventually. They're going through trials, just like you and I go through trials. Sometimes those trials, like we talked about last week, it's not so much the big ones that beset us. It's not the huge things that beset us and really make us, you know, depressed. Sometimes it's those little things, those little gnawing things that cause us to focus on that. The little things that irritate you the most. Satan knows those, and he uses those for all of us. But they all lost. They lost. They were scattered. And he said, yet, he said, you're going to leave me alone because the Father is with me. See, that's the peace. That's the peace, because this is all temporary, folks. And if you don't believe me, go to the graveyard and see how many people have their new homes and their cars and what have you. Because, you know, estate, I see these signs, estate sale, and I drive by them and I think to myself, gee whiz, all those years storing up all those things. What do they mean now? Nothing. Nothing. So the peace that we have is in Christ. The peace that we have is in Him. His peace is upon us. His peace is the peace that's firm, that's a firm foundation, that lasts, that is, cannot be changed, because it's God's peace, and He's living in you. It says, He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that peace that passes all understanding, that little nugget is inside each and every one of us. So when trials come and when things hit me like a truck, I say, Lord, I don't understand this. It stings, it hurts, but I know that my peace is in you, not in this situation. So the peace he's talking about here in 33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Where's the peace? In Christ. That's where it's at. You say, well, those are great words, Dave. No, they're not my words. They're God's words. He's the one that said it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, peace and tribulation in that sentence goes together. Sorry, I know this is not a positive state, but peace and tribulation go together. Why? Because God is speaking. That tribulation, I turn to Him. In tribulation, I give it to Him. In hard times, I give it to Him. And I always take it back. And then I give it to Him. But Lord, well, here, Lord. No, but Lord, no. The peace that passes all understanding says, I don't understand this. That's what it means. That passes all understanding. I don't understand this. But guess what? Lord, I know you have it in your hand. And when God speaks to me and he says, all things, David, work together for the good to those who love the Lord. I'm going, how is this possible that this is working for my good? How is that possible? Okay? And God says, it is, because it drives you to me. That's why. It drives you to me. Like we talked about last week, if everything was ice cream and peaches and roses and puppies and puppy dogs and what have you and butterflies, okay, we would never search for the Lord. We'd be out there chasing those bubbles. John 16:33 doesn't mean tactile peace. Doesn't mean tactile peace. It means God's peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Flip over to, where's that peace at? Flip over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Oh, yes. We know the holiday season's coming up. Every church will be reciting this portion of Scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and everyone knows those words verbatim. But you see, there's one area when they're looking for that peace, when they leave the church, and they open the presents, and they get the credit card bills the next few weeks or whatever. That peace is gone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Yes, Lord. Counselor. You want a good counselor? You need counseling. Guess where the head counselor is at? Okay. Mighty God. Amen. Everlasting Father. And finally, Prince of Peace. That's our peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Understanding when you say, but look at what you're going, look at all the things you're going through. Look at what your children are going through. Look at what your family's going through. Look at what the world's going through. Look at the things on the news. Look at all these things that are happening. Where's your peace now? I don't, like Jehoshaphat said, I don't have any answers, but I'm going to bring it to the Lord, because guess what? He is my peace. I am under the shadow of His wing. He is protecting me. His banner over me, according to Song of Solomon, is love. And that's where my peace lies. Lord, I don't understand it, but I know that you're in it. So the Prince of Peace. John, we're going to talk, look here, John, in a minute here, John, I've got Ephesians 2, so we'll get to those. But what's God's promise? And how do we maintain that peace? Not as the world gives, not my new car, not my new home, not this. That's not peace. That's all temporary. Turn to Isaiah 26:3. I found it in Isaiah 9:6. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. When things are falling apart, when the world's in chaos, when darkness begins to descend upon mankind, which we have seen, we know that there's something coming up here, September 11th, a memorial. We know that on that day, most of you that are in here remember it, on that day, the heart of man was struck without peace. Peace was removed. Peace was gone. There was no peace. There was fear. There was sadness. There was disgust. Because the enemy wants to take your joy. The enemy wants to take your peace. We'll probably get kicked off the air. I'm not going to mention any names. But he wants to take it away. And sometimes we want him to take it away. We want to get angry. We want to get upset. We want to get, we allow him to do that. But September 11th, there were a lot of heroes in September 11th. A lot of people stepped out. A lot of people went the second mile. A lot of people sacrificed. And all the innocent ones that were lost. And you can see there. You can see they had no hope. They had no peace. But Isaiah 26 is God's promise. 26 verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. My trust in the Lord is where my peace is anchored. If I look in the mirror and I look at my capabilities and I look at my everything that's going on in my life and my failures and all of my setbacks and everything else, and there is no peace, there is no hope. But if I look in there and say, you are a child of the living God. If you think this is a joke, God sacrificed himself, the King of the universe, the King of the universe sacrificed himself on the cross and paid for me. Folks, that's not lightweight. That's eternal. My peace that I have, tactile peace that I chase, is something that I can feel, touch, and I feel good now, I'm at peace. Nope. The eternal peace is what really matters. And those who will, he'll keep them in perfect peace. In other words, who's doing the keeping? God is. And why is he keeping in perfect peace? Because my thoughts, my mind is on him. When I'm walking around, ask my wife, when I'm walking around, seriously, I'm whistling praise music. I'm humming praise music constantly. That's the only thing that keeps me focused on the Lord. Because everything around us was falling apart. We sit there and my wife watches documentaries and what have you. And some of those just slay me. But you see, those people have no hope. The ones that have the hope who are the ones whose mind is stayed on Christ. The mind is stayed on God, his peace that passes all understanding. Four said actually here, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. And people say, well, I'm too weak to have that kind of peace. I don't, my faith isn't that good. Well, here it says, for God, the Lord is everlasting strength, Okay? He is the one that gives us that strength. And the more we trust in Him, the closer we get. The closer we get to Him, the battle rages. The battle rages. And I look at that just like Jehoshaphat and when the Assyrian army was around. What else are we going to do? I know what we're going to do. Lord, this belongs to You. These are Your children. I have no idea. Okay? Holy Spirit, descend upon each and every heart. Watch over them. Give us all that peace that passes all understanding that cannot be taken away because it's God's gift. It's not my ability. It's His gift. It's His promise. Philippians 4:7. I'm going to flip over to that real quick. The beauty of Bill not being here and me speaking is you get out of here early. Sorry. Philippians. Can't even find it. Sorry, guys. Yeah, my pages are stuck together. And the wind upstairs is not helping. One second here. Let's get this thing unstuck. Should have used Bill's little thing there. Ah, gotcha. Are you kidding me? They're stuck together. Ah, there we go. I got it. It worked. Philippians is a small book. That's why it's stuck together. Okay, Philippians 4:7. Let's go back up number 5, chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When Paul talks about let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that was the gentleness, that was the love, the temperance, the long-suffering, all of those things that were in Him. And that's how we can maintain that peace that passes all understanding is in Him. It says here, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, not through your efforts, not through how great and wonderful we behave. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't anyway. So, and then Romans 8:31. Back to the left now in my Bible. So Paul's talking to the Roman church here, and he's telling them, basically, moreover, whom he predestined, these are he also called. Verse 30, he called these, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also gloried. That's the peace. He glorified God's peace. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. There's no one that can be against you because the King of the universe is living in you. That was the whole purpose of all creation, is for God to dwell with mankind. And the peace that passes all understanding is total peace. Let me give an example of a peace. Of a peace that's what I call the epitome of peace. The epitome of security, which that's basically what peace is, security, happiness. That's my puppies, my dogs. Do you know they've never not once complained, worried about not having enough to pay the house payment? Do you know they never went to the cupboard to see if Mother Hubbard's cupboard was bare? Okay. To get her dog a bone? Do you know not once did they look at the TV and go, oh boy, we're in trouble. Not once they didn't do that. They have that perfect peace because I'm there. God gives us that same perfect peace because He's there. That's the peace we need to have. Lord, help me understand that. Help me live that. Help every fiber in my being be like that puppy. They don't care. Even if you don't feed them. Right? I mean, they might wag their tail. They might sniff around and find something. You could be in the worst mood in the world. Come in, guess what? Yeehaw! They're home. Rejoicing to see Him. That's how we should be with the Lord. Lord, I rejoice in You. Lord, I rejoice in You. I sit in Your peace. I sit in Your comfort. I sit in Your silence. Because He is in it isn't the loud noises that God does all the time. Sometimes it's that still small voice that Dennis talks about. That still small voice. And He speaks to my heart. And when He speaks to your heart, I guarantee you, it will slay you as far as your heart will melt. Your heart will literally feel like it's melting inside of you because of the glory of God that He's revealing to you personally. And that peace that He has will pass all understanding. Lord, I don't get it, but I know that you are my God, my King, and You are on the throne. Wow. My little dogs. God, give me those animals to show me what that means. Not once they... And when they get sick, they don't tell me. There's symptoms. I have to watch for those. God watches our symptoms too. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit knows your heart before you do. He knows your sadness. He knows your anxieties. He knows your depression. And He reaches His hand into your heart. And He says, I got your heart. I'm holding it. My banner over you is love. That peace, that's the peace that passes all understanding. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. When the world goes into total chaos, which it is, I mean, we had some conversations earlier tonight about that. Since the beginning, man has wanted that peace. But there's two types. Tactile peace. Peace that we see, we touch. All of that's temporary. And then there's God's peace. And if I didn't have that peace, David didn't have it all the time. King David. He didn't have it all the time. But he... Turn to Psalm 51:10. He cried out. He knew that. This is a song too. I love it. King David had that issue. He had depression. I mean, if you don't believe that, read through the Psalms. he really did. He got down. He doubted God. He didn't have that peace that passes all understanding. He had battles going on, okay? And he knew that his heart was chasing soap bubbles sometimes. So he wrote Psalm 51, verse 10, where he says, Lord, and I want you to do something different, guys, which I've done and my wife knows. We do it together. When you're reading God's word and you read these words, I don't read the words. I want you to put your name in there. I want you to put yourself speaking that word exactly like God said it. Because when that happens, when it comes out of your mouth, whatever it comes in, it's in your heart, it comes out of your mouth, you're speaking the word of God, and you are in the word of God. Your name is there. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, so here's what we're going to do. Create in David a clean heart, O God. Create in Callie, let's put your name in there. And renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence because of my failures, because of my doubt, because of my fears. Don't cast me away, Lord. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me, because that's the guide. But restore to me, Lord, restore to David, me. Put your name there. The joy of your salvation, and uphold David by your generous spirit that passes, gives a peace that passes all understanding. And then guess what? You will be a witness that other people will look at you and going, you're going through all this stuff and you have a heart for the Lord. You're going through this darkness. You're going through this medical thing, cancer, whatever it is, financial, relational, you're going through these things, and you're still trusting in the Lord? Yep, because it's in His hands. Because you become a witness at that point, restore unto me, hold me up, now you're generous, then you become a witness. I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Folks, because you are walking with the Lord, I'm going to tell you right straight up, you are being watched. You are being watched by the people you work with, by the people you come in contact with. And there are places that I go that I'm not very, very godly as far as my actions with people. I mean, it's like some people are just flat out rude. and I have a little bit of heartburn over that. Lord, forgive me. Like David said, break their teeth out. Hit them, Lord. No. So you become a witness. When that peace that passes all understanding, and we grasp a hold of that, just like my puppies, they don't worry about anything. Passes all understanding. And Psalm 61:1, flip back over that and we'll close here shortly. This is where we go to get that peace. Really cool verses. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. So when my peace is gone and I do not have that peace, Lord, hear me. Lord, from the ends of the earth I cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, there is no peace. There's no peace that passes all understanding. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lord, for you have been a shelter for me, David, and a strong tower from the enemy, Lord. Father, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. Father, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, Father, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong our lives, Lord, to many generations. And we shall abide before you forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever. that I may daily perform my vows. When you are worshiping God, when you are alone, when you are meditating on the word, David says, I meditate on your word day and night. And that's what he was talking about. Because when we do that, that peace that passes all understanding begins to grow in us. It no longer becomes a challenge, no longer becomes an afterthought. And when the trials come, Lord, they belong to you. I don't know how you're going to get out of this one. And God goes, he does the impossible. And I can tell you stories, my wife and I can tell you stories of things that we've gone through, and there's no way, no way humanly possible that could have been done. So, except for the Lord himself. So when you're going through these things, guys, which we all do, I do, and my wife does, we all do, when we're going through these things, look for that peace that passes all understanding. And that peace that passes all understanding is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I look upon him, like the song says, when I look upon his face, the things of the world become strangely dim. That's the relationship that I want with the Lord. I want that relationship like my puppies have with me. They're sound asleep on the floor at home. They're not worried about gas, which I have to get on the way home. They're not worried about going to work tomorrow. They're not worried about where I'm going to get the parts to fix my broken sprinkler lines. They're not worried about that. They're just like, yeah, okay. Hey, he's home. Yay. Ask my wife. They go bonkers when we come home. Total bonkers. I mean, even walking out to the mailbox and back, you know, they think we've gone to Europe. So that's how we should be with the Lord. That level of trust. That level, that peace that passes all understanding. Not the peace that, oh gee, I got a new bank account, a big bank account, blah, 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 so whatever the soap bubble is that we all chase, that phony peace. It's temporary, it's going to go away. So I either choose that peace that passes all understanding, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk with him and trust in him, or I go chasing soap bubbles. And, you know, when you start chasing soap bubbles, you focus on that bubble only. And sometimes that bubble runs you into the wall, runs you over the cliff. So, but anyway, let's close in prayer. Any, and then we'll take some questions if we can, and we'll go from there. So let's close. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, Lord. And Father, we do ask for that peace that passes all understanding that you have promised, Lord. Lord, not in our righteousness, Lord. You said, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Lord, these prayers are not in our righteousness, but in yours. So, Lord, we lift your word up to you. Lord, we ask that peace that you have promised, Lord, your disciples, your children, Lord. We ask that peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. When things all around us, Lord, fall apart, when things around us become dark, Lord, when there is no hope, Lord, Lord, cause our heart to be at peace with you. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a spirit within us, Lord, that follows after you, hard after you, Almighty God. Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, you are the shepherd, the great shepherd, Lord. Father, we give you the praise and the glory, Lord, and we just ask you to bless and anoint each and every person here, Lord, and the ones hearing online. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Amen.